Hey, dumbasses, what's up? It's me, Allie Makovsky, back for another fantastic episode of my podcast, Resting Bitch, with Allie Makovsky. If you don't know already, I just had the craziest weekend of my life. I performed in my first arena, in my first amphitheater with Ian Edwards and Joe Rogan for about 10,000 people each show. Pretty chill stuff, pretty normal, not crazy at all. I'll get into that later. I don't want to spoil all the good stuff up top. I'm going to make you wait for it. Or do that thing where you keep skipping forward every like 15 seconds waiting to hear about it. I'm going to save it for a little bit later. Before I got this podcast rolling, I was talking about boogers. Boogers are interesting. Fun fact about me, and this might, you know, turn you guys off, which is fine. I don't care. You guys might unsubscribe. That's fine. You guys might leave nasty comments. I am a firm believer in eating your boogers. And I know that a lot of people are really grossed out by that. But it's like, I've been doing it since I was a kid. I ain't gonna stop now. I can't stop. Where do you put them? If you pick your nose, I'm not gonna wait to, you know, when you have like a, when it's just there and you can't, and you just need to pick it. I don't have tissues in my car. Also, I think tissues get in the way of picking it. It's just not helpful. So I always pick it just raw. I raw dog my nose. Sometimes I do the shocker. I get one nostril with two, and then the other nostril with my pinky, and I just shocker. I spit on my fingers before, and then I put them in my nose. I always pick my nose, and then, I mean, where do you put them after? Because they always just stick to you. You can't wipe them off on your clothes or, like, on your pants or anything because they just stay there. I know this is disgusting. I'm not proud of it. I'm not bragging about this. I think it's gross too, but not that gross because I still do it. But that's just my truth. That's my journey. I think for the most part, I'm not that gross of a person. So just let me have that, okay? It brings me joy. It keeps my immune system strong. And whatever. I don't, like, do it in front of people. It's my own private thing. I'm sure a lot of you do nasty things in private. R.I.P. Jeffrey Epstein. He was doing it in public, so, you know, it was his own island, but there were people around, so fuck that dude. Hashtag R.I.P. to the man who's still alive. Hashtag free Epstein. He's definitely still alive. That's my theory. It doesn't go, like, deeper beyond that. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's definitely not dead. That's my theory. I was with Rogan when we found out that Epstein died, and man, if there's not a better person to be with when you find out that news, just wait until he dies again, and if you have the chance to be around Rogan when he dies again, that's who you want to be with. That is where it happens, but yeah, that shit was wild. Yeah, that shit's gross. Yeah, see, that's gross, okay? Let's all think that that's gross. Leave me alone with my boogers. I just like them. And it's not like I'm like, if they were on a menu, I'd order them. I just like, you know what? I'm blaming my dad on this. I have a gross dad. I picked up a lot of his gross habits. My mom, I picked up her traits, like, cankles and wide feet and flat feet. My dad also has those things, but I have to balance it out. Like, me and my dad do a lot of similar things. Like, if we make a set, like, this, I don't know if this is a good example, but, like, when I was living with him when I was younger and stuff, if we made, like, a salad, we would, like, he would lick the bowl clean, like, all the dressing, all the little, like, you know, carrot shavings, anything that was left on the bowl that you couldn't pick up with the fork at the end, we'd just lick it off the bowl. Like, me and my dad do shit like that. He picks his nose, I pick my nose. I don't think he eats his boogers. Maybe he does. I wouldn't be surprised if he does, but I just come from a long line of gross people. Okay? So, you know, for me to open up my podcast by revealing that information, I think is brave and courageous. You know, Alicia Keys doesn't wear makeup, and that's brave of her. I share, you know, personal information about myself. Yeah, so anyway, a little bit about me. I'm also not wearing makeup, so I'm like fucking, I'm like a soldier. You know? I'm brave. I'm definitely not a soldier, but I did shave my head 2 years ago, so in some ways, I am. But not really. You know what I realized? I'm a little bitch. As much as I think I'm, like, all hard and, like, taking jiu-jitsu and boxing and shit like that, I almost got into a little bit of an altercation at the Comedy Store last night. I was about to fight this dude, but I realized when I'm in a scenario where a fight might go down, my adrenaline just kicks in overdrive, and I start, like, shaking a little bit, and, like, my blood is just, like, boiling throughout my body, and my sentences don't come out right. Like, I get all flustered. Like, in my head, I'll be, like, in my head, what I wanted to say to this dude was, please step outside. You need to leave the showroom. You can't be in here anymore. But what came out of my mouth was, go outside. I was shaking, and I really wanted to punch him in the fucking face, because he was so close to my face, and he was definitely on meth or something, and he was being a real asshole, and it felt like he was gonna punch me first. And so I didn't know what to do. I was scared of punching him first, because I'm like, well, if he wasn't gonna punch me first, then, you know, I'm just a dick. But I could have gotten away with it. I don't know. I'm just not a violent person. I'm a lover, not a fighter. As much as I want to, like, get into a fight that's, like, deserved, and I think that this was with this guy last night, I just can't really come to do it. And I get too worked up anyways. I couldn't have landed, like, a good punch with, you know, that type of energy in my veins. What had happened was I was working the original room, which, you know, Monday nights, it's like this long ass show that goes till 2:30 in the morning. And it's just a long night. I'm seating everyone. I have to make sure that people don't sneak in from the hallway. I have to make sure that everyone stays in the seat that I assign them. And just depending on the night, it can get a little bit rowdier than others. And this dude was sitting in a seat in, like, the very back row. And it was, like, a pretty full night, but the back tables were empty. And so I knew that I did not seat this guy there. And I was thinking, like, maybe I sat him somewhere else and he just moved back there. But then when I went up to him to check, I didn't recognize him. And I have a good, you know, I have a good memory for who I sat in their faces and stuff. Normally because I judge them when I first see them. But this dude, I didn't recognize at all. So I go up to him. I'm like, hey, do you have a seat? And he was like, yeah, right here. And I go, did I seat you here? He goes, yeah, could I get a gin and tonic? And I'm like, you dick. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I didn't seat you in here. If you want to come watch the show, you need to enter through the front. And he was just being a dick. And, like, he was just on drugs. It wasn't that he was being a dick. He was being on drugs. And so, yeah, I was like, hey, could you just, like, get up for me? And he was like, I don't even know how to describe it. He was just, like, for sure on meth or something. He was all close up in my face. And I, like, gently put my hand on his shoulder and I go, hey, I need you to step outside. And he's like, get your hand off me. And I'm like, get the fuck out of my room. And it got real close and hot and heavy. But I was all shaking and not talking right. And then this fucking guy who works at the store, Austin, he wants to be an alpha, and he steps in. And I kind of wanted to see how far it would go with me and this guy. Because it is kind of fun. Because that's not like a feeling that you get that often. Like, it doesn't come naturally. So I kind of wanted to ride that high a little bit and see how far it was going to go. But yeah, then Austin took it outside, which was annoying. But at least I didn't get hit in the face. But I thought I was going to. And I would have liked to just practice my swing and see how it would have gone. But yeah. That was my night last night. Did anything else happen last night besides me almost getting into a fight? I don't think so. There's some other sketchy dude on drugs there that had to be kicked out. But he was just kind of like minding his own business and being a weirdo. Yeah, working at the store is fun. After my weekend, I guess I'll just get into it. What happened was, I don't even know how. I think Joe just asked me in person, maybe, if I was free August 9th and 10th. And, you know, even if I'm not free, I'm always like, yeah, I'm free. And he told me we were going to go to Portland and the Bay Area. So, yeah, we went to Portland on Friday morning, flew in, got to fly first class. It was so nice. I felt like such a princess, just getting snacks the whole flight, Diet Cokes, orange juice, water, coffee, just getting, taking advantage of all the perks I could. Me, Ian, Joe, we all went. We got into Portland at like 1:30. And then we did our first show that night at the Moda Center. And it's crazy. Like I have some friends in Portland. And I had to kind of like play it cool. I was like, hey guys, super random. But like, I'm going to be doing a show in Portland. If you guys want to come out, I can probably like get you on, like, you know, get you, hook you up with some tickets. They're like, oh cool, where are you playing? And I was like, I don't know, I think this place called the Moda Center, because like, I mean, that's a big flex right there. That's where their basketball team plays, the Trailblazers. Billie Eilish was there in June, and now this dumb bitch gets to perform there. Makes no sense, but yeah, kind of subtly flexed on them. They didn't end up coming, they forgot, but you know, that's fine. And okay, so we get to Portland, we go to the hotel, I lounge for a little bit, do my makeup all saucy, I'm looking good, because like, I know I'm going to be on that big ass jumbotron, you know, I'm pretty much on a kiss cam for about 10 minutes, but without the little kiss cam emojis on the screen. So I do my makeup all nice. And then we go to dinner. I met Cameron Haynes, who everyone was freaking out about on my Instagram. He's a very nice guy. Him and his son had dinner with all of us, and we went to the show. And I looked out into the audience from backstage, and I started panicking because it is big. It is so big, and it's so overwhelming. Oh my God. Yeah, it was just a lot to process, and you can't really even, like, you can, like, get a grasp for it just by looking, but, like, it's totally different when you get on stage, because the stage is huge, and then you're just looking around, and there's so many people. So, yeah, Joe brought me up over the backstage microphone. People are going nuts. They're hearing his voice. They're like, love you. And then he's like, I mean, his intros are wild. He's like, this comic, one of my best friends, one of the funniest comics coming up right now. I'm like, chill, dude. And everyone's going crazy. And then he's like, give it up for Ally Makovsky. and I'm like running to the stage, and then I get on stage and I'm out of breath and the stage is so much bigger, so I just like do a lap around the stage like I just won a goal in soccer. And I grab the mic. I'm like, "What's up, Portland?" Everyone goes crazy. And it was like just that feeling. Just as soon as I heard everyone go crazy after that, I was like, "Okay, I got this." But I was still so nervous, but it was so much fun. And so I did 10 minutes, had fun, did well. What if I just bombed in front of that many people? Could you imagine? Imagine what the second night would be like if I had bombed the first night. Then he's like, "Okay, well, I hope the second night goes better." That would be a nightmare. I did well. I had fun. I brought up Ian Edwards. Ian crushed for like 25, 30 minutes. Joe crushed. He did like an hour. And then we just hung out backstage for a while. We went out to eat after. Slept. And then the next day, we flew to the Bay Area. Mountain View. Checked into the hotel. Took a little nap. Got ready. And this time, I was like, "I got this. I already did an arena. I got this." And I wasn't nervous the second night. I was just super excited. My friends came out to that show. My friend from college and my friend from high school came out. They got to see me. And that was really cool. And two fighters were backstage after the show. So that was really cool. I had a great time. They were super nice. I love meeting fighters. I'm like so impressed. And yeah, the amphitheater was like totally different. I think it was like around the same amount of people for both shows, but I think just after doing my first like crazy big show, the second one was like just like more laid back, I guess, as crazy as that sounds. It was just fun. I had a good time. It was really fun hanging out with Ian and Joe. And yeah, my friend Alex from high school watched me, and she had just seen me like a couple weeks ago with Santino at the Punchline in Sacramento. And so she, like, both of my friends have like kind of seen me grow at all the different stages and stuff. So it's really nice to have them there. Me and Angelique in college used to get fucked up. We would like pregame with Four Locos. Yeah, it was a rough time. We had some rough. Ooh. We had some like painful ass mornings. Because we would go hard. And then the next morning we'd just be in our dorm in college, just being like, "What are we doing with our lives?" I had this one. So we had like these, I don't know if I've talked about this before. But we had these like fancy. Oh, I did talk about this before. Yeah, we had these like fancy dorms. It was like four bedrooms. Two of the bedrooms were double, like shared. And then two of them were singles. And I had this like crazy Christian. Not even Christian. Like she like made it her own thing. Like OCD, worship, praise. She was like next level. Like she did her own thing. She would like, she would have the Bible, but, like, do kind of, like, a Muslim prayer with it. Like, she would get on her hands and knees on the floor in our room and, like, do the nodding up and down on the floor, but with the Bible, like, and she went to a Christian church and she would highlight every single word of the Bible, and me and Angelique were, like, you know, we were homies, we were tight AF, so we would have sleepovers in my little tiny-ass bunk, and my roommate would freak out and throw pillows at us and be like, "You guys have to stop." So, anyway. Yeah, that was wild. But someone asked on my Resting Bee Pod Instagram, "Why are you still working the doors at the Comedy Store when you're doing huge arenas with Rogan?" And here's why. It's kind of like a whole, it's like this whole thing. So kind of the backstory to this is, I mean, if you listen to the first episode of this, you kind of know, like, the comedy story, but pretty much, like, I've been going to the Comedy Store since I started. I wanted to work there about maybe, like, 2 years ago. Yeah, maybe, like, 2 years ago I wanted to work there. like after I turned 21, and like 6 months later they offered me the job, and by the time that they offered it to me, I realized that I would be like a bad employee. Like, I just wasn't in the right place to be like a good employee. Like, I imagine if I did take the job at that time, I would have like been late all the time. I would have like always tried to get my shifts covered. I wouldn't have requested time off, and so then I would have like fucked myself over. Like, I just would have been a bad employee. And because all of the door guys are comics and my friends, I didn't want to like have any, I didn't want to like fuck up my friendship with these people because I was a bad employee. Like, if I'm going to fuck up a friendship, I want it to be because I'm just a bad friend. I don't want it to be because I'm a bad worker. So I didn't end up taking the job when they offered it to me. I was just like, I'm not ready. So I started working at this chicken wings place. And when I was at the chicken wings place, I learned how to be a good employee. And I really fucked with that job. And then someone from the club messaged me being like, hey, we need a door guy and we need someone who's funny. And at that point, I just kind of was like, okay, I'm ready to, like, be a good employee. And the other thing is that, like, when you work at the store, you're working nights. And, like, at the time that I applied and then at the time that I got offered the job, I was still doing, like, a bunch of open mics. And I felt like that was crucial to me. And so if I had started working there earlier, I think it would have kind of, like, stopped me from getting out there and doing mics and stuff and whatever. And so when they reached out to me again, I kind of was like doing more shows than open mics at this point. And I felt like confident in where I was in comedy and confident in working nights instead of doing mics or whatever. Like, I felt like I was at a place where I could do that now and it wouldn't like hurt me comedically. So I took the job. This was in April. Like, I started at the beginning of April. And, you know, now it's like the beginning of August. April, May, June, July, August. So I've only been there for like a little over 4 months. And like, I mean, at this point, I don't know. Like, I was already starting to do spots, like development spots at the Comedy Store before working there. And I was already doing local shows with Joe and stuff. But the Comedy Store is like such an iconic place. And there's so much history there. And to be an employee there like really means a lot. And I think like just for me, it's really cool to be a part of the history in that way. And I have no shame in taking the trash out. You know, like I did the weekend with Rogan this past weekend, and then we flew in Sunday morning, like super early Sunday morning, and I was scheduled to work Sunday night, and I just showed up, and I was like working that night, and I think it's really good because it's like, it just reminds me that like, you know, whether it's an arena or a bar show or the main room at the Comedy Store, like, it's all important. I mean, sure, an arena is really cool and really fun to post about on Instagram, but it's like all of the shit is important, and I can't think that I'm like bigger than working at the store because, you know, if it was like more consistent, if I was like gone every single weekend, like featuring or opening or whatever, then I wouldn't work at the store. But it's like I can't live on just every once in a while doing stuff. So I'm just waiting until I know that I have to, like, I'm gonna keep working there until I just can't, or probably, I mean, I'll probably only be there for a year. I don't want to be there any longer than that. I think a year is a good amount of time to put in and, you know, just work. Because I figure at a certain point, like, I'm never going to be working, like, you know, a clock-in, clock-out type of job. So I might as well just work really hard while I am. And I used to work in like a lot of food service jobs, and I was really scared that if I was a good employee that I wouldn't be a good comedian. Like, I thought that if I like showed up for my job on time and like did a good job there that I would be sacrificing comedy, which just isn't true. I think I was just lazy. So yeah, now I try and like always show up and do a good job, and then, you know, it's all good. Yeah, so that's why I still work at the store. Because, I mean, you have to think about it. I only did 2 big shows with Rogan. It's not like I can fucking start a family and buy a house and, you know, start going on the road headlining. These are just the baby steps. It's all part of the process. And it's all like, you know, I just keep doing it. So, anyway. I'm sure, like, it seems like, oh, now you just do comedy full time. And it's like, comedy is just like a grind. Like, it's not full time until it's like fucking full time. I don't know how to explain that better. I hope that helps. Did you used to smoke cigarettes? Yeah, bitch. Yeah, bitch. Sometimes I still smoke a little bit. I like the feeling and the taste and the smell, but I don't go as hard as I used to. I used to smoke about 1/2 pack a day. Because there's just so much downtime with comedy and stuff that, like, I wouldn't start smoking until, like, I would go out for the night. And then once I was out, like, just to kill time, I would be puffing. But now it's pretty much just juuling. I had 1 last night, which is pretty impressive. I started smoking when I was, like, 17. I went through, this is how it started. So, I was 17. I just broke up with my first boyfriend ever. Shout out. You know who you are. I've talked about him on the last episode. I'm not going to keep talking about him because that just sounds creepy. But we broke up and I hung out with my friend who I hadn't hung out with for a long time because I was spending a lot of time with this dude. So we hung out. Oh my god. We drove up to LA to see this girl, Cher Lloyd, perform, who I was like obsessed with. She was on like British America's Got Talent or something. She's like this spunky British girl. We went up to watch her perform in LA. It was like a daytime, like a radio concert, like a radio show put it on. I think it was like K-Rock or no, it was definitely not K-Rock. It was like, it doesn't matter. We went up to see her perform, and then she was smoking. I guess in between the time that I started dating this guy, she started smoking. So I was like with her in the car, she's driving. She was like, can you just shut up about this guy already? Just have a cigarette. It was like a commercial. It was like a commercial for how people start smoking cigarettes where you watch it and you go, no one's smoking a cigarette at 17 because they can't stop talking about this dude that they broke up with. But that's how I started. I had my first cigarette with her and it was all right. I wasn't like hooked or anything. But then we would start like going to all these concerts and like shows and stuff. And we would be drinking. And she would have a pack of cigarettes and I'd just bum them off her when I was drunk. And then eventually we started going out so much that I would just buy packs for when we were drinking. And then like when the night was over, I'd have a couple left. So like on the drive, like the next day when I'm driving, I would just like smoke the rest of them to get rid of the pack. But then I was like just buying them for myself. So yeah, I started smoking at 17. It was pretty cool, pretty gross. And then I started juuling. This is how I started juuling. This is when I made the switch. I was going to a family dinner, and it was a long drive. It was like at least an hour drive. And I wanted to smoke so bad, but I didn't want to smell like cigarettes when I got to the family dinner. But I was like, I need it. I need a smoke. So I stopped at the gas station, and I bought a Juul. And I've been vaping ever since. I'm a vape machine. Did you ever have a favorite comedy album growing up? I can't remember how many times I listened to Dimitri Martin specials growing up. I was late on the Dimitri train, but when I was growing up, my sister would always pick me up from school, and she would play Dane Cook's albums, his earlier ones. Like, I talked about this on the first. Just fucking listen, okay? Listen to my fucking podcast, you dumb bitch. Yeah, Dane Cook was, like, my first, like, comedy albums that I really listened to and enjoyed. And then in high school, I would watch Chris D'Elia's Laugh Factory YouTube videos and watch his vines and stuff. And I was, like, a pretty big fan. Okay. What else? Pancakes or waffles? Waffles every once in a while, but more often than not, I'm getting pancakes. But now that you mention that, now I'm craving them. I'm craving a waffle right now. Okay, audience connection in an arena versus club/theater. I don't know. Like, the reaction in an arena is just so overwhelming. Like, if you're in, like, a club or something more intimate, maybe there's, like, one specific reaction that you kind of are, like, drawn to from someone. Like, in an arena, I can't just, like, pick one person out of the crowd to, like, focus on or that I, like, notice. And it's all just kind of happening at once, so it just, like, washes over you. It's really powerful. I like both. I didn't feel... I'm sure that there's some comics, just, like, the style of their comedy that would potentially be, like, difficult, more difficult in an arena, like, in a bigger setting like that. And I just felt really comfortable up there. But I also feel really comfortable in clubs and stuff like that. Like, I just like performing wherever I am. Thoughts or advice on the friend zone? Anything helps. LOL. Love your comedy and the podcast. Thank you. The friend zone. I don't know. I have a friend. This is just a side note. I'm not really going to go into it too much. I don't think I've ever been in the friend zone. I remember when I was little, I used to think, like, no one's ever going to like me. I'm just always going to be, like, one of the guys. And, like, no one's ever going to, like, see me as, like, a hot little bitch. But that was, like, elementary school or, like, middle school or high school and stuff. Now I know that I'm a powerful, bad bitch. But I have a friend from high school, Alan and Kelly. And they've been friends for a long time. And Alan has always had a huge crush on Kelly. And she's always just, like, friend-zoned him. And they just started being boyfriend and girlfriend, like, a couple months ago. And it's the cutest thing ever. They're, like, so in love with each other. And so it just gives, you know, just give them space. Don't be a little horny perv, because a lot of guys fall into that category. They just want what they want, and they're a weird, horny little perv about it. Just give it time. And if you're just, like, a cool, nice person, hey, what's wrong with just being someone's best friend? And maybe their feelings for you will change because they see how chill and cool and loving you are. Am I a picky eater? No. I like trying food. I always try food. There's certain things that I don't like, but I always try it again. My mom's a weird ass picky eater. She, like, brags about not eating shit that it's, like, it's not cool. Like, she'll be like, I've never had strawberries. I just don't like the way they look. And it's like, okay. Like, my mom also brags about never having been to Walmart, where I guess now in 2019 with all these shootings, like, that is a cool flex to say that you've never been there. But, yeah, she brags about it like it's some, like, cool bougie thing. And it's like, you're not, like, it doesn't mean you're, like, better than people because you haven't been to Walmart. It just means that you're not an active shooter. What's it like traveling for shows? The good and bad parts. I love fucking flying. I tweeted this thing once. I said, Some people complain about having the middle seat. I don't mind. It's just cool being up in the air, leaning back, watching a movie, jerking two dudes off at the same time. Yeah, I don't mind. I like traveling. It's fun. It can be really exhausting, though, because, like, half of your day is spent, like, getting to the airport, waiting for your flight, getting on the flight, flying, getting off the flight, getting to wherever you're going. Like, that part's exhausting, but I kind of like, I like airports, I like people watching, I enjoy it a lot, and getting to see, like, new areas. Like, I talk shit about a lot of places I go to, but that's just because I love where I live. Like, I really like LA, so it's fun to talk shit about places, but I like seeing new cities and new states and stuff. Bang, marry, kill. Theo Vaughn, Brian Callen's Cheeto. That's tough. I'm going to do all three to all three of them. I'm going to fuck them, I'm going to marry them, and I'm going to kill them. And I'm going to... I don't know. Okay, fuck, marry, kill. I'm going to have to kill Cheeto. Just because, you know, redheads only can live for so long before you have to... Who? I would fuck Theo and marry Callen. Because Callen knows what marriage is like. So, he's got experience. And then Theo's probably out there just plowing. So, I don't mind being just another, you know, rat. Rat in the rat farm. When is the land crab coming on the podcast? He should be your first guest. Yeah, I thought about having Andrew, but I feel like he's too poppin'. That would be crazy to have him be the first guest. I did think about hitting him up to do that, but that would be like a huge... I'll see. That would be cool. Favorite places to be alone besides home? The movies. I don't go to the movies with people. I think that that's ridiculous. To go see a movie with someone? Why? Why? Because you don't talk. And if you do talk, I don't want to be there with you. Yeah, I love going to the movies alone. I go to the movies alone all the time. I also go eat alone all the time. I like doing things alone. I'm an adult. I don't have to be with people. You know, sometimes I go to the movies with a friend and stuff, but you know what? Here, like I said, my dad's like a gross person. He like, he's overweight. That's not what makes him gross, but watching the way he eats is gross, and that's why he's overweight. But, his name's also Larry, which is a gross name. There's no like cool Larrys. Larry Bird, but... You know, he died. When he died, all the Larry's charisma and sex appeal went out the window. Yeah, my dad's name is Larry, and he's a bit thick. And he came up to visit me, and he was like, "We should go see a movie together." And I was like, "Oh my God, is this a date?" We went to see a movie together, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that'd be fun." So we went to go to the movie, and on the way there, I remembered that he's the worst person to go to the movies with, because he's like, he breathes really loud, he has ADD, so he's always like tapping the chairs, and he eats popcorn all gross, and so I was like, you know what, let's go to the movies together, and I'll sit with you before the movie starts and during the trailers, but as soon as that bum bum, bum bum, bump comes on, I'm getting the fuck away from you and I'm sitting somewhere else. And so I did. Because I don't need to sit next to you during a movie. We're both watching. We don't need to gasp and look over at each other and go, "Oh my God." We'll talk about it after. I think it's so silly to not go to the movies alone. It's a great experience. I think more people should just do things alone. But I guess, like, you know, like, not to bring this up again, but, you know, movie theater shooters, they're always alone. So, not a good look. Not a good look at in 2019. Yeah, I guess no one's ever shooting up a movie theater and bringing a friend with them. Want to go watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then all of a sudden their friend just starts... So scary. I used to work in a movie theater, and the first thing I thought of when I started the job was where I would hide. That's fucked up. That is fucked up. America's sketchy AF right now. Like, people, I went to Israel like 6 years ago, and I had a really fun time. It was really beautiful and stuff, and, you know, they have like a really fucked up... It's pretty fucked up over there. You know, it has been since it started. It started fucked up because they kicked all the Palestinians out. So it's pretty fucked up. But then I thought about it. And, like, you know, I posted a throwback picture of me in Israel. And some people were, like, shitting on me in the comments. They're like, you can't support that country, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so fucked up. But then I think, like, if people come here, like, it's pretty fucked up in America, too. I hate to get political. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I do feel like that's a valid point to make. America's also pretty fucked up. I can't end on that note. I feel like I need to end on something more positive. How much time am I at? Ooh! What else could I talk about? Okay. Let me just make sure I covered all my bases. I just hit 25k followers on Instagram. So, that's tight. I'm still not verified. For some reason, they won't verify me. Even though I'm, you know... I'm out here in these streets. I was gonna talk about relationships and hooking up and stuff like that, what it's like as a young lady. But I think I'm gonna save it for another. I need to save the juicy stuff for once I get more people on the resting bitch board. Once people hop on this board, then I'm gonna get all the juicy stuff out. But for now, I just need to, like, you know, get a steady rise. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna end it because I'm hungry. Oh, look at my shirt. I want to just show off my shirt before I go. I'm wearing the shirt that says my stomach hurts. It has a hole in the armpit. This shirt is... made by the guy who did my logo for the show. What's that called? Like a logo? Thumbnail? Art? Yeah, the artwork. The cartoon of me lounging on the couch. That was done by this guy named Alec who lives in New York. And he has the best Instagram. One of my favorite Instagrams. It's Alec with Pen. A-L-E-C with Pen. And it's all these cartoons that he makes, and he's super funny and talented and a good dude, and he has these shirts that say my stomach hurts because he has a lot of stomach issues, and yeah, just a good dude. And so shout out to Alec. And also, while we're doing this, just shout out to the War Toys for being the intro music to all of the episodes so far. I was gonna have, like, my own music made and stuff, and it just hasn't happened yet, and so I've been playing their music as the intro, and I just fuck with them heavy. LA band. And, yeah, I'm going to New York August 21st through the 27th. That's coming up. I'm taking another trip in October, and that's a surprise trip that I'll tell you about when it gets closer, but that's exciting. Yeah, so I'm gonna be posting my New York dates this week, because now I know what shows I'm doing. And, yeah, it's going to be exciting. So, I don't know. Thanks for listening or watching, I guess. And, I'll talk to you dumb idiots later. Bye. Thanks. Okay.